Last week, the state Senate in Rhode Island voted to delay formation of a new Board of Education that would oversee public schools and colleges and universities. The move came on the very first day of the new year and the first day of the new legislative session. It also comes after the old boards of education held their last meetings and dissolved, leaving Rhode Island effectively with no boards in charge of education. Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst Scott McKay is here this morning to explain more about the situation. Scott, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Glad to be here.
So, Scott, Rhode Island has no board overseeing education right now. How did this happen?
This looks like a triumph of politics over policy. This deal was punched through the assembly at the last minute in that usual flurry of legislation where they pass hundreds and hundreds of bills late in the session. It was slapped onto the state budget, which meant that Governor Chafee really couldn't veto it, and it kept other lawmakers from having the opportunity to comment on it or really try to pull it out of the budget. It was a last-minute deal, and it just went flying through the legislature with no real hearings or study or plans for how we're going to put this into effect.
Now, is this kind of 11th-hour maneuvering a blip, or is it really just business as usual at the Rhode Island State House?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, sometimes they do focus. I'll take a look at the pension overhaul last year, where they really studied in depth and had a lot of hearings and brought people in. But, you know, back in 1907, I'll never forget, I've been there almost that long, and there was a young representative from Providence. And he was a Roman law professor at Brown. His name was Theodore Francis Green. And he was appalled in his first term as a legislator. He was appalled at the way the legislature threw hundreds of bills through the hopper and passed them in the last minutes of the session, the waning hours, the middle of the night, without any real study. And here we are more than a century later, and they're still doing this stuff.
Okay, so I get it. Last-minute deals are a reality in politics. But, I mean, this isn't just a little political favor. This is the entire system of education that serves hundreds of thousands of students. Where are the hearings, and when will we get the chance to properly vet this change?
Well, I think now's the time, given that the flux this issue is in, where the advocates and the so-called stakeholders out there really have to go up to the State House and try to lobby. It was kind of strange the way this was done. This is no way to decide major education policy. I think everyone would assume that. There was a lot of talk that lawmakers were very upset at the legislature because they passed that local Dream Act, you'll recall, which gave the children of illegal immigrants in-state tuition. When the board did this, they bypassed the legislature. And, you know, the Smith Hill gang's not pleased. They love to go around and say, we're not potted plants. You should come to us. There's considerable anti-immigrant sentiment up there. But even among the liberals who supported the Dream Act, they like to be the ones to get the credit if this passes. So there's a lot of talk that at the State House that they were upset with the Board of Governors for Higher Education, which did this, and they were going to slap them down. And they did.
And so payback for this in-state immigrant tuition policy means that the legislature throws the entire governance for both K-12 and public education into question?
Well, you know, we don't really know. If you believe the State House rumor fountain, which, as you know, is always bubbling, there was also another rationale for this, which was to make George Carullo of East Providence, the former House Majority Leader, well-connected guy, to make him kind of the czar of the state education bureaucracy, both K-12 and the college and universities.
And then, Scott, in another last-minute move, Carullo, the Friday before Christmas, announces he's taking himself out of the running for this job of heading the new Board of Education.
Yes, and he made very cryptic comments. He said, you know, that he didn't realize how big the job was, how complicated it was, how much time it would take. He's got a family, kids in college, that he needed to spend time with his family, and obviously, he's a practicing lawyer, needed to spend time to pay college tuitions, and thus the other inside word on the street, as they always say at the State House, is that Chafee became upset with Carullo when he realized that Carullo is supporting Providence Mayor Angel Taveras for governor in 2014. Taveras and Carullo are very close. The two once practiced law together at a downtown Providence firm. So we have all of this, and there's been no clear indication or explanation either from the House leadership, the Senate leadership, or frankly, from the governor about really what happened here and why we took this path.
And Scott, you mentioned Governor Lincoln Chafee. I mean, what measure of blame does he hold here? I mean, why didn't he have the new Board of Education, this new combined board, nominated and ready for state Senate approval on day one of the new session?
Well, I think he was dealt a tough hand, and what he decided to do was, I'll put Carullo forth, and he'll probably get confirmed because he has great ties on Smith Hill, and we'll go from there. And then, of course, at the last minute, Carullo decides to pull out, and for whatever reason, sometimes you have to take these people at face value what they say, and sometimes, well, it just doesn't pass the laugh test.
Well, Scott, it sounds like a lot of confusion at the top of a system tasked with training the state's future workforce. How does this impact Governor Lincoln Chafee's promise and lawmakers' promise to really focus on improving the state economy?
I think it makes it more difficult. I think one of the things in Rhode Island that we have is a pretty poorly educated workforce. If you look at our New England neighbors, particularly Massachusetts and Connecticut, which in the last 10 to 15 years, both states have spent a lot of money, put a lot of resources into their state universities. And I think that Rhode Island's lagging behind, and you're seeing that in the kind of support we're giving the University of Rhode Island, in the kind of support we give it to Rhode Island College. They have a hard time working together. They tried to build a nursing school together. The plan was to have it in the so-called the old jewelry district, the new innovation district in Providence. But because of turf battles between those two entities, we couldn't get that done.
Now, Scott, we also saw this past week the sudden closure of a career training school called the Sawyer School, leaving more than 1,000 students in the lurch. What's the Office of Higher Education's role in overseeing this type of for-profit, non-degree-granting institution, and what does it mean that this is happening at a time with no board?
Well, I guess we're lucky the Office of Higher Education is still there because they can now go through these records and try to at least help the students who earn some credits there transfer them to other schools. That's the good news. The bad news is it looks like these for-profit colleges are not very well regulated. As you know, covering education, most colleges and universities are overseen by accrediting agencies, regional accrediting agencies that come in and look at their programs and their facilities and their professors and make sure that they're up to snuff in comparison with other institutions regionally. These folks, where they hand out certificates, it seems to be the Wild West here in a real caveat emptor situation for the students, many of whom obviously are out of work looking for a job, and they get locked into these federal loan programs. And lo and behold, here we have over 300 Rhode Island students who are just up the creek without a paddle, as we say.
And more than 1,000 students in Connecticut. Well, Scott, thank you so much for being here this morning. Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst, Scott McKay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.